Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
It's great to see visitors here today. You're really, really welcome on this hot and summer day. It's unusual weather, but we'll just get on with this, hear from the Lord, and go and enjoy the sunshine. Okay, so let's just focus. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. We honor you for the miracle of your work in planning, in details that we didn't even know about, but we find ourselves looking at what you're doing and standing amazed. And this morning, Lord, I want to thank you. You have a message for us. Whether we're visitors or whether we are part of the church here, you have a message, and I pray that you would speak directly into our hearts through your Spirit and your word, and that we really will hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most favorite or most quoted messages you hear in churches is that Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. I've come that you might have and enjoy abundant life. So Jesus says, I haven't come to do anything but actually to make your life better than what you would have without him. And so Jesus gives us a better life. He actually gives himself, because Jesus died on the cross, he rose again. For our sins, he paid the price for us, and that all who believe in him and choose to follow him will receive his life. And so once we've received his life, it's called the new life. And if anyone has received Jesus, he's become a new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And so this new life, this better than life, is just a kind of unpacking of what we receive when we receive Jesus. We spend our lives enjoying this better than life. Now, I was praying because I'm seeking to kind of make sure in God that we're hearing his voice and moving into the new season and going into a new location in the right way. And the Lord really laid it on my heart to bring a message about the life that we have in Jesus and how that life is to be lived. Because it's one thing to have the life and it's another to live it. It's one thing to receive Jesus, but it's another thing to enjoy the better than life. And so as we cross over, the message that God has laid on my heart is that the life he wants us to focus on today and in this season is that love matters. Love matters. When Jesus died and rose again, he sent his Holy Spirit. And that meant that every believer could have God living in them. Not just living around and outside of them. Because Jesus had died for them, they could now be really a vessel where God would live. And Jesus says, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And he will be with you and he will live in you. And that Holy Spirit is the third person of God. He is God. And so God living in us is to affect the life we live. And the early church showed us how to live the life. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 2. God himself is love. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we receive Jesus through the Spirit, we receive love, the God kind of love that is unconditional, that never fails, that never gives up. Aren't you glad? That God's love never gives up. That is perfect love. And the early church lived the life, really, of love. And as we read in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love looking at this because it gives us a window into how the early church lived out the new life. And once the life came, once the Spirit came, this changed what they did. The new life changes us. New life changes us. It transforms us as a people. And they lived out, it says they devoted themselves. Whenever I hear the word devoted, I always think of love. Because you say about a married couple, they are devoted to one another. And it usually has love as the motive for this devotion. If somebody is devoted to their car, it's because they love their car. And this devotion comes out of people's hearts for things, for people. But we see when the Spirit came, the early church didn't have to be told to do the right thing. Love made them respond to a new way of life. They changed their kind of habits. I don't know what a bar would have looked like in the New Testament Israel. You know, they went down the pub. Suddenly they went down to a prayer meeting. It changed what they did. The new life altered their behavior. And it wasn't a law thing. It wasn't you must. It was love. It's because they'd been so amazed by God's gift of love to them. They were so changed in their hearts on the inside that it affected their life and what they did. They also had this unusual devotion to one another. They were together. They had all things in common. They spent time in and out of one another's homes. They practiced hospitality. So in other words, food, come round for tea. Get involved with, you know, we're having a family event. Why don't you come? There was this whole new family life in rather a large church. 3,120. That's quite a big church. And there was this, I mean, there must have been logistical problems. Who's going to look after the baby? Well, bring him along. Who's going to make sure the dishes are done? Let's do them when we get back. I have such a devotion for God and for his people and moving with what God wants that actually the washing up can wait. And so this worked out with real people. We read 3,000 were saved, but actually they had normal lives like you and I do. Some were married, some were single, some were looking for a job, others were really well off. There were all kinds of people. There were old people, there were children, 3,000 saved, and they were added to the church. Now, you see, in God's mind, every person needs to make a personal response to Jesus Christ for their salvation. But as soon as we're born again, we become a member of the body of Christ. So in other words, Just like my body cannot exist without other members, so we become a body that needs one another. And so there wasn't just this kind of vertical relationship with God and me. There was this outworking of God and me and us. God, me, us. And there was this change of thinking from God, me, God, me, God, me, to God, yes, I'm blessed. God wants to build up my faith, but he so much wants me to be an active member of his body. So when we're born again, when we receive Jesus, we become a member. We don't sign a form. It's not about form filling. It's about where God has placed you. And they lived out this amazing love. Wow, is all I can say. If you read this, you go, that's amazing. So somebody had extra, they gave it to the poor. Something had happened in their hearts, guys, that meant, I want to love you by serving you and giving to you. It meant something that transformed the way they behaved together. Love wasn't just words, it was action. And so this community was so amazing, not just because God himself lived in each one, but because they lived out a life of love together. They lived bearing one another's burdens. When somebody was in trouble, they stood side by side. When somebody seemed discouraged, you would have a number of people ring them up and say, are you okay? Even though they didn't have telephones. Just trying to bring it into the modern day. Meet for a falafel. Not a waffle. Coffee and waffles, falafel and wine, probably. But they had their focus wasn't just them. And what was amazing was the atmosphere of love, God's love, in a real way amongst them, was so attractive that people got added to these people daily. It says the Lord added to them daily those who were being saved. So people came into an atmosphere of love where everybody says, well, come along to the prayer meeting. That's what we do. Come along. We're going to hear the word preached on a Sunday. Come along. We've got a faith group tonight. It's amazing. They devoted themselves to faith group. They devoted themselves to prayer meetings. We make it official because we have to set times because we all need to set times. But we need to set time by God's time. God's time first, our time works. It's amazing what happens if you put God's time first. Life just flows with anointing and grace. They were laying down their lives. It cost them to be together. It cost them something to give up, to sell something, to share. And you know, this sacrifice actually expresses love. I watch it, you know, with couples that get married. Initially, the romantic love can kind of change, is the right way, because it shouldn't run out. Should keep going. Make room for romance. Be exciting, don't be boring. Sorry. But then you watch married couples and they're kind of like, you know, why don't they ever make me a cup of tea? And, you know, they never do anything for me. And they think flowers twice a month is it. And do you know what I mean? It's like there's flowers are good. But I'm just saying, if it's not worked out, everyday life of love expressed in giving, love expressed in giving. Flowers are good. I repent. Sarah says, shush, I want more flowers. But the love matters in action. This is what the early church were. They were living the life of love. And so, you know, we sometimes over-spiritualize it and say, well, that's because it was a special time. I want to knock that on the head. Because what made it a special time was that they all received the Holy Spirit. Who's received the Holy Spirit in this room? We have the same special time. Because we have the same Holy Spirit. He didn't come stronger at Pentecost. He didn't come part of him when he filled you. He filled you because he loves you. And he came to empower you to be a bright, shining light, different, living the life, not just having it. And so love began to be something that actually motivated everything that they did. And do you know what? I think choice, your will works a lot in love as well. Because sometimes we just think that love is about feelings. But actually, my love for you is about a decision to lay down my life so that you get the best out of my life that I can give you. That is my love. Currently, I'm loving you. Because I've spent time seeking God to equip you to live the life that Jesus has given you. And you know, we can look at buildings and say, awesome, God, this is incredible. But actually, what will draw the world is maybe they'll say, wow, what a great building. That's cool. But what changes lives is love. What reaches the world is love. God didn't send a building. He sent his son. Love in action. And so we see this amazing community life. And actually, it looked perfect. But I bet they had their issues. I mean, it looked absolutely perfect. But let's look together at Hebrews. What happened down the line? Hebrews shows us a different story for the Jewish believers. Let's go over a few years after the initial love fest. A few years on, what happened? Hebrews 10. Things had changed slightly. And the word of God here, written by somebody, but it's the word of God, is trying to bring people back to their first love for God, their devotion for God, and their devotion to one another. I remember once Pastor Colin saying something when I was first a student at Rafi. And he said, the reality of the way that you love God will be expressed in how you love others. I didn't like that because I was madly in love with Jesus, but didn't like so many of them. You know, it was like, this way, great God, you're perfect. This lot, they're definitely not. And I've since discovered neither am I. Has anybody ever failed? Yes? Well, that's why we need love, because it covers a multitude sins, doesn't it? And so in Hebrews, we read a slightly different story. The heat is on. There's a fresh move of persecution and suffering in the church. Now, I'm not prophesying that as we go in to take the land, it's going to get more challenging. We will have our challenges. That the new life, there is always a challenge to the gospel and to you fulfilling your destiny. And the body of Christ fulfilling our destiny together. But I am saying that actually there are always times in our lives where we experience challenge. There are times when things come against us, where we're suffering, where we're being persecuted, where there is a tough time financially. I met a man last week. I think there were some of you guys brought some visitors last week. And one of them was a Malaysian gentleman, an older man. I loved talking to him after the meeting. He was actually a very spiritual man. And whilst I couldn't quite understand everything he said, his accent was so strong. As he was talking, he said, I was the first Christian in my family in Malaysia. And as a young man, I nearly gave up Christianity because of finances. He said, I was persecuted in my family for being a Christian. And then I had money issues. But he said, I just decided, I didn't feel like it, but I just decided not to give up, to keep going forward and learning about God and being with God's people. And because I made that decision, I'm now where I am and my family is saved. But challenges come. They may not be the same as that man, but he said, you know, we will all have challenges, but we've got to pray. We've got to pray. God, help us. Because we will overcome a challenge. And so the as we look in the book of Acts, we actually read here verse 32. Encouragement to go on with God. Remember those earlier days after you received the light. When you stood your ground in great contest in the face of suffering. In other words, great persecution. They stood their ground. Come on, guys. We need to stand our ground and live for Jesus. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, and other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison. You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. In other words, you lost your stuff, but it didn't matter because what you had with Jesus was better than stuff. It's kind of radical, but this is what we need to be today. Not just read it, live it, living the life. And he says here, so don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he's promised. For in just a very little while, he who's coming will come and will not delay. In other words, Jesus is coming back. Jesus will return. So let's live right for his purpose and see him come back. And we're in a right state. And then he says, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I'll not be pleased with him. But we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. He's saying, okay, the pressure's on. You might have pressure in your job. You might have pressure in your relationships. You might have something really difficult going on in your life. Maybe it's been going on for a long time. But the encouragement of God's word is, do not draw back from God. Don't shrink back. Don't take a step back. Go forward and meet the challenge with the power of God. You see, in him, we can do all things. He gave us his spirit so that we can overcome. And there's a temptation to go back in many aspects of our lives in the church today. Life can offer you, particularly your flesh, some very easy options. I want to commend you on a sunny day for being here. You did not give into the flesh. I think we all thought it. Did anybody think? I thought, what a nice day. Shame it wasn't my day off. But I won't give in to doing the will of God. And you know, this is a whole thing about shrinking back. Don't draw back from God. When trouble comes, run to Jesus. He is your helper. He is your strength. We read it at the beginning. He's our deliverer. He's our fortress. He is our life. In fact, go on with Jesus. Don't maintain your ground. Go further with Jesus. Please don't be praying the same prayers now and then in 1 year. Come into new things in God. Grow in the knowledge of God. Develop your prayer life. Move on. Don't shrink back. Don't be normal. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with passion for Jesus. Don't go back to meeting-itis. And we don't have too many meetings. We have actually a God-given structure for you to relate, to grow in prayer, to move forward together in God. It is to facilitate you to fulfill your call as a member of the body. Thank you, Jesus. And I need my kidneys. I need my right toe. I need my eyebrow. I don't know why, but I do. God put it there. Every member is important. We cannot go forward without this commitment to one another. And this drawing close to Jesus. The more I go on, the more amazed I am at Jesus. I'm growing in the knowledge of Jesus. I love him more now. I loved it this morning when we were praising him. I love being saved. I absolutely am grateful he died for my sins and gave me a new life. And so this passion isn't to maintain, right, they're not having my time, they're not having, right, no God, this far, no further. Come on, let's grow. Come on, let's move forward. Let's see a devotion springing out of love for his word, for fellowship, meeting together, prayer. Don't miss the prayer meetings. Not because of duty, but because something's in your heart. Unless, of course, you have a prior commitment that actually says you definitely can't. But don't go and look for a prior commitment. They devoted themselves. You see, we want to change the world, don't we? These are the kinds of people that change the world. Not just the vertical dimension, the us dimension. So don't shrink back. He who has promised is faithful. He is your God. He will get you through trouble. He will deliver you from evil. He will defend your righteous cause. He will uphold you in a storm. He is your God. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We love him, don't we? Thank you, Jesus. Now, another area that Hebrews addresses, because the heat is on to these believers, and that is their life together. Verse 24 of Hebrews 10. Let us consider. So let's really think about this, guys. How we may spur one another to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, Jesus is coming back. Stay encouraging one another to do life together. Don't stop doing the new life together. We need each other. We belong to each other. There's a need for every person to give their part, to give their share in our corporate life. The atmosphere of love is not distanced, non-relational. It's actually warm, isn't it? You know when you go into somebody's house and there's like an atmosphere, you can't buy it, but it's welcoming and it's love. When you go into a family where there's love, it's like, this is nice. But when it's ice baby, you want out. Whether it's a single or a family, let me tell you, there are some single homes which is ice. And we need to create an atmosphere. I can preach to anybody this morning, married or single. Atmosphere of love. Because this is the goal. Greatest is love. Love is the greatest of all. But if you're anything like me, you have been severely tested in your love for one another. Can we have a little bit of honest time? In this, you know, I've always known in my life that when Jesus saved me, I just knew it was all by grace and I was just going to live for him. I just, whatever he wanted me to do, I had no plans. I said, okay, I just give my time and I just began to serve. When I got saved, I wanted to be wherever believers were. And I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Just as in the early church, they all wanted to do life together. But what can creep in is individualism. And like, let's do life separate. Because it's easier sometimes to live separate. No, you're all perfect. I don't think you experience the same challenges as me. But I had to learn some really amazing things when I first got born again. I went to a library when I got saved and took a photocopy of all the churches where I was, and God kind of went through them, and I went to a few of them, and I said, God, you tell me where to go. This is a newly saved Christian, and I didn't know other Christians in that area. So God spoke to me, and he spoke to me about this particular church where there was a spirit-filled leader, but he was leading a pretty kind of difficult church because they didn't want to move with the things of God, things of the Spirit. But the leader was spirit-filled. So God said to me, I want you to join this church. Now, some of the other members in the congregation were also spirit-filled, but a lot of them there was this big boulder of resistance. We don't want to move forward. We've always done life like this, and this is what we want. You know, those kinds of static rather than movement. We are to be a movement, not a static. Yeah? You can leave a memorial when you've gone, but let's keep moving. You know, let's keep moving with Jesus. And anyway, I joined this church, and of course, being a brand new believer, I decided that I loved God and I loved everyone. And so it started off really good, loving people. There was this man who used to come to me as soon as he saw me, because they probably hadn't seen a new believer for 20 years. So I came in like, wow, I love Jesus. I want to learn. I want to know about God. And as I came in, this man used to come right for me. And he would walk up to me like this, right, what you need to know is this. And every meeting he would correct me using the word is true. But you know, you can say it in a way that's going to hit somebody around the head. So you know those kinds of, I had to learn to love him. So every time he came for me, I went, oh, I forgive. Even before you talk to me, I forgive. And when you leave, I'll have to forgive you again. But it's learning to love no matter what. There was also this rather strange man. I don't know. I think he had problems. Because he followed me. He was married. And he followed me. And I was like, always trying to get away from this. So it was a bit weird. And you know, when you're just first saved, you're like, I know I should love everybody, but this is weird. This is really weird. How do I get used to this? And you do need to get used to a different community. Because there's a new family. You're born again into a family. So you do need to change and grow up. And I had to learn to love these people. There was this lady, and I remember she had at least 7 dogs, and she lived on her own. And she latched onto me as well. It's like they all went for me. I mean, I was like an, you know, missile lock. Let's get her. And she would, once she knew that I was actually saved and really happy to do things for people, because that's what happened to my heart. He'd done everything for me. I wanted to do everything for people. So I was like, so she began to book me in her diary. So I'd end up, because I had a working life, you know, I had a career. But evenings I'd be around to picking her up, taking her somewhere. And in the end, the minister came to me and he said, I want to just talk to you sensitively about that lady. Basically, she's manipulating you. And I thought, oh. I thought you just had to love everybody. He said, no, love is not doormat. That's a manipulation of love. And it's not in the will of God. So you need to put in some boundaries and say no. Because there can be an abuse of love in the church. And let's make sure that we put the right boundaries in to say no. So I had to learn all these things, and they were quite complicated. And still say I love them. And still pray for them. And, you know, and it was just such a challenging time for me. But I also found many believers who loved me, taught me the word of God, showed me how to give money, tithe. They showed me how to kind of do life now as a believer. They were sensitive when, you know, when I was first saved, I went out and one night kind of had a little too much to drink. And somebody who really loved me came to me and said, do you know what? Jesus doesn't want you to live like that. Didn't force it on me, but just says it's a new life and it's a new way. Let me help you to live the new. Because we're not just, you know, we're not just having new life, we're living it. And love matters in everything that God does. It matters that we love one another to the Lord. I had to understand that my response to people, because at times I was angry, God was more interested in my response than being right. Has anybody ever had that little lesson from the Lord? You know, I know I've been right in terms of what they've done is wrong. And yet God was looking for a different response. Not to correct them, but to forgive them. And to say, love keeps no record of wrong. Isn't that a challenging scripture? So we are called to live in love together and have no record of wrong in this room. Wow. So I look at you and have no kind of black mark against your name. If I'm to fulfill the command of Jesus, what was his command? Not suggestion. Love one another as I have loved you. And so we see love really, really matters. It matters. It matters that we don't draw back from fellowship, from meeting together. It matters we don't draw back when somebody doesn't do what we want them to do. And we kind of cold or fridge them out. It matters that we keep a love atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, pure love amongst us. That as we cross over, love is the greatest thing. And this church, as any church, Jesus wants us to be known for our love. For one another. And for the people he is calling us to reach. If, I'm just going to finish with this. In this walk that we have and journey as the family of God together, living out love relationally as God's family, there are times when actually as there are in the natural. My house stinks because there's rubbish in it. Have you ever come home and left something in your kind of recycling pot, if you have one, or in the bin, and you walk in and you go, whoa, that is bad. Has anybody had a house that stinks before? Yeah. Well, what is the solution for stinking rubbish? Get rid of it. Take it out. Move it out. You see, anything of unforgiveness, anything of lovelessness towards one another stinks. It creates a bad smell in the house. And we are God's house. We need to take the rubbish out. Because Jesus died for us to actually have a cleansed life and live clean. But we have to say, Lord, I forgive. I refuse to live with this stinking attitude. I am called primarily to obey you. No matter what people do, I am called to love. Love for God. Love for people. Love for one another. Love really matters. Shall we stand together? Thank you, Jesus. Well, we've heard a message really from God's heart today about his love. That those who are believers, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, have power to love one another. And it's not our own power, it's his. And, you know, we all need to change in our personalities and actions, don't we? As we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, grow in our love for him, let's grow in our love for one another. My prayer is that a year on, we will love one another more than we love one another now. And it's not that we don't love each other. But I do believe we can grow in our love for each other. And that we are here to love people who visit us. We're here to make their lives better. Just as Jesus wants to make everybody's life better. He wants to make others' lives better through us. That we're meeting needs. Laying down our lives to love one another. In your faith group, which every member of his body should be part of, smaller meeting together in the body. It's his will that we have times together meeting. Understand that your faith group leaders are actually called to love you and serve you, but that you are called to love and serve them. It's not one way, is it? It's both ways. I'm so thankful that all the ministries, all the things that you guys do is actually an expression of your love for God and for others. But let's grow in this love walk. Let's see the love of God grow amongst us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.